on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs, and welcome back to all our listeners. And remember, if you're a fan of entrepreneurship and you want to join us, you know, you can connect with me on LinkedIn. Just look for Jeffrey Davis, even on that's the best way. But you can also join our Radio Entrepreneurs Facebook page, and you can look at our videos and watch our YouTube stuff anytime you want. We're always welcome, and you're always welcome. Sorry, I sort of screwed up those words. Our next guest, our regular reporter, a real foundation for Radio Entrepreneurs, also has his own show on our network, Greg Stoller, a professor of international business at Boston University, and also to be doing the new preface in my second edition of my book coming out in the new year. Thank you, Greg.
Thank you, Jeffrey. I think that's more meaningful, the book, than anything else. I just want to tell you on the air, I'm sincerely appreciative of that.
See, you know, I think we're both of similar character when it comes to this. I don't know which one of us is more excited to have you on the cover of my book. You know, I think we're both excited. I'm just excited. You know, every time I look at the cover and I see your name, it puts a smile on my face.
Well, thank you. I had to do a double take. I couldn't believe that I've made a book cover. So it's quite an honor.
Really exciting. And, you know, I reread, you know, your preface the other day, and I added one word, you know, entrepreneur,
right,
to the whole thing, because I thought it was good. But you know, you're just so busy. You know, you have your own business on the side. You're a professor. You're doing this international program. It's an incredible program. When I think of it, there are few things in life I think of that I say, I don't want to do it. It's just too complicated.
Listen,
program is complicated.
Thank you. The Language of Business TV show has been very good to us over the past 3 years. We have been very lucky and fortunate to be so successful on commercial television. We've now been on the air for over 4 months. They've given us a second airing every week, so two different episodes every week of the show.
Wow.
We change the theme and the guests every week, twice a week, and it's been great. We've been very, very lucky. But I'm the first to accept and admit that it's a lot of work, but I think that it's getting the job done. And
I think I sent you to one of my clients. I don't know if you ever followed up with it.
I did. I know who you're talking about. It was a great interview, and that episode's going to air in the next couple of weeks.
Wow. So I'll have to find out about that one. So what's going on? Is it about the school today?
Sure. I mean, I think the biggest news out of Boston University's Questrom School of Business is going to be experiential learning these days. They've expanded my role, which I'm very appreciative of, especially in only year number two of being back at BU. I'm now mentoring undergraduate and graduate students to compete in case competitions.
Oh, wow.
And all of these case competitions are not created equally, in the sense that some of them are physically written cases where a team is going to do an analysis and then is going to present in front of a panel of judges as to who did the best analysis. There are other situations where there are venture capital investment competitions where the teams will play the role of entrepreneur or financier and compete against each other. And yet another type of case competition where the students are competing individually. I just love the mentorship angle, and I love the opportunity to prepare a student or prepare a team to really go forth and prosper.
You know, we're doing the exact same thing every day, except I'm not doing it with young students. I'm doing it with older entrepreneurial students.
Or what you would call your clients.
Yes. It's the same thing. We're looking at the same things and doing the same things and preparing for success in business and
right,
for greater for success in business.
And to me, I had a wonderful college and business school career. I mean, I was very, very lucky and very appreciative, but we never did any of this stuff, not even close. And these days, I really applaud BU and their Questrom School of Business that it's all about mentorship and experiential learning and training, because I'm sure, Jeffrey, you and I are cut from the same cloth, is that there wasn't any malicious intent when we graduated before we took our first job, but you weren't really prepared. I mean, you had the knowledge, but you didn't have the practical experience, and this is an opportunity to work with a student and say, hey, you did X, Y, and Z well, but you really could have improved on A, B, or C.
You know, when I was coming to work today, I was thinking about the meeting I had with my staff this morning and how I was going to start it. And I talked about my orientation being around teaching and teaching them every time I was with them to be better, and what that meant in terms of how I interacted with them. And I thought back to my first job in the car. It's funny how you say that. And I thought, you know what? My original bosses never taught me.
Right.
They told me what to do and assumed I could just do it. which was a big mistake right out of school. I was, what, 25, 24?
And I personally would agree with you with the millennial generation is that everybody wants to be politically correct. And even if you come in 13th, you get an achievement medal or a participation medal.
I hate that.
Is it? Well, but it's we somehow have created this ourselves. But I think that the millennial generation isn't used to being told you messed up or you could have done this better, because that's not really what you're supposed to do. We're all supposed to band together and build everybody up and say we're in this together, it's a team, etc. And I'm the first to admit that that's true on the top line, but in terms of the bottom line, we all have to be told politely how we can improve.
You know, I try to explain to people, you know, first of all, thin skin doesn't work if you want to be a learner.
Correct.
If you're a learner, you can't be thin-skinned, because you're always learning something you don't know. So you're in that
right.
that realm of ignorance if you're learning. And I say to them, I'm not going to come in every day and spend 100% of my time telling me about what you're already doing right. I'm going to come in and spend most of my time talking to you about what you don't do.
But that doesn't mean that they're not performing well, and that doesn't mean they're bad people.
No, I'm only right. talking to them because I respect them.
Right.
That's what I try to say. I'm only talking to them because I respect them. I think they're smart. But I have to be focusing on continuous improvement. I'm sure that's what Belichick does. He's not telling Brady about the pass he did right. He's telling Brady, well, let's figure out about the pass you did wrong and what we could do better next time.
And I think what the millennial generation often sometimes forgets is once they've been out there for 5 or 6 years, they have something that's indisputable, which is experience.
Right.
And if they can possibly meld a little bit of critique, positive critique, constructive criticism with experience, they're going to be unstoppable, absolutely unstoppable in the workforce.
The best teachers I ever had were demanding, very demanding of me.
But fair.
Not always.
Okay.
You know, that was maybe because my parents were from the Depression. You know, they taught me that, you know, to not judge that. You know, they just said, that's what you get. You know, they expected me to have bad bosses.
Yeah, I guess I've been lucky in that regard, in the sense that most of my bosses have been really tough, and it's been under the auspices, if you will, of learning at the foot of the master, but they've been part and parcel pretty fair.
I've always told my staff, my favorite boss of all time, I'll never mention his name, I'll go to gender, he was a lazy alcoholic, and I'd go into his office, and whatever I said to him I wanted to do, he'd go, great idea, do it. He was my favorite boss because he just let me do whatever I wanted.
Right.
And I could then experiment and find ways to do
right.
things. And if I wanted advice, though, he would give me advice.
And my best boss story is when I lived overseas in Tokyo and was the first foreigner ever to graduate from a management training program and ultimately go into management, and one of the only full-time Japanese ever at the hotel. And they were absolutely as brutal as the day is long, but they've indoctrinated me with lessons that even 25, 30 years later, I still remember and apply today.
Look, you know, learning is an interesting thing, and I think you brought up the point subtly. A lot of millennials today don't really want to learn because they want to just have a badge for participation. Learning is you can't learn unless you're in a state of ambiguity, potentially a state of stress, and you have to allow you a state of self of honest self-analysis. And a lot of people just don't want
and
to go through that.
And without a safety net.
No, it's not.
Right.
It's not. It's
yeah.
not a comfortable place always.
Right. No, I agree with you.
And I think you and I are. You know, okay, maybe we're relics,
right?
But we
dinosaurs.
We like the anxiety. We like the anxiety. You know, I think you and I embrace. I used to look at the Men in Black. You know,
right.
the poster
yep.
where they open the door and they're going through the door into the universe and they don't know where they're going. That's learning.
I embrace uncertainty because to me it's like a blank canvas for an artist that you're actually able to go there and throw a couple of splotches of paint up there and see what sticks. And worst case scenario is you could do a Control Alt Delete and reset. I'd paint it white and start again.
Well, you do live in multiple universes, and I think, you know, for our listeners, you're a special character. I mean, when you go to China, you're going to another planet, aren't you?
Well, I'm headed to France next week. And
well,
then
that's
China
its own planet, too.
Well, but it's an interesting juxtaposition because if you think about what's been happening in Europe over the past 3 or 4 years with their economy, if you think about what's happening in China, I'm not going to insult our listeners by saying these worlds are going to collide because, to your point, Europe is cosmopolitan. It's very close to where we are in the West. The Far East is at many times completely different because they're, you know, centuries as well as miles and upon miles away from us. But it's an interesting juxtaposition. If you use sort of the U.S. as the test case, there's not a lot of similarity anymore between any of these countries. And the European way is unfortunately pretty different than the Western way or the U.S. way right now.
And, you know, I've tried to explain to my friends the same way for me. I've been to Africa many times, and it's you can't use any Western mindset
right.
when you're in Africa. It's a whole different way of being. It's primal in a lot of ways. I've been out in the bush, and I've been throughout the Middle East, at least six countries in the Middle
right.
East. And there's no they do not think like Westerners, and trying to impose a Western sense of logic on what goes on in the Middle East is just not right.
But I will tell you that in small doses, and when I say small doses, a couple of minutes a day, a few hours a week, I take solace in that because I can pick a couple of interesting learnings from there and from there and from culture A and culture B and country A and country B, meld it together. And I personally think it makes not only me, but everybody on our team better managers.
Well, I think that's being an entrepreneur. The goal of the entrepreneur is to go into something that you know you have to go into. It could be an area. There is ambiguity, and then figure out a solution. And that can be either service or product. That is the role of the entrepreneur in the
right.
same
I
way.
I would add one more aspect to that, though, which is important to me, which is longevity. Is I've always admired you, Jeffrey, both on air and off, in terms of you haven't been active with Mage for 3.5 years and claiming you can get it right. It's been a long time. And I think there's something to be said for that, that there are very few businesses these days that have the sustainability and the longevity to be able to say, you know, 17 years ago, we thought we were doing this, and then 13 years ago, we pivoted, and then 5 years ago, we pivoted again. There's a lot to be said for that.
Well, you know, I started on a mission. Thank you very much. That's very
You're
nice
welcome.
Of you. I started
it's
on
true.
A mission in 1985 with some gentlemen who had a vision for helping people to achieve greater...
Nearly 32 years ago, by the way, for anybody doing the math.
Okay. Who wanted to achieve something special, really something special. And they felt they had a methodology for helping those individuals to do something that was spectacularly special in their lives and how we could help them to do that. And even though our delivery has adjusted over the years, that goal of helping people to do something special with their lives and in the world is still the goal of this firm.
I think it's great. And I also am very fortunate that my company has been around for over a decade and a half, and it's meaningful to me that we're still alive and doing well. So
that's great. And we look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you for the invitation, as always. Right? Great to see you.
Right. And if somebody's looking for you, and why wouldn't anybody be looking for you? You're one of the good ones.
I'm glad this is radio and not TV, or else I'd be blushing. But they can reach me at my Boston University Questrom School of Business email address. That's gstoller@bu.edu. G is in Greg, S is in Sam, toller@bu.edu.
And I have to tell you, you know, there's a lot of people nowadays that are looking at entrepreneurial television shows. There's a lot of them now going out there. It's an experiment. Some are coming, some are going. You watch Greg's show. I watched it in its infancy, and you got to say, you know, Greg has a certain energy and insightfulness about business and a love for business. It comes through in the show, and you can't produce that, and you can't manage that.
Well,
that's just
thank
wonderful.
You. If I could just give 10 seconds of a plug, you can check us out online anytime on demand at languageofbusiness.biz. We also are broadcast on over 90 public access stations through PEG in 24 states across the United States, or on WBIN-TV. That's Verizon 506, Comcast 811, Saturdays at 12 noon, and Sundays at 11 a.m.
And also airing on the Radio Entrepreneurs Network, which
on,
you can get
right,
on the Radio
audio
Entrepreneurs
simulcast.
App.
Right, exactly.
We're going to take a break and say goodbye to Greg, which is always a sad time. And my name again is Jeffrey Davis. We will be right back after these messages.